to meet y'all.
And so I want to have my children continually saying yes to Jesus.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, you just sound dead. Is there something wrong there?
I'm a little dead today. I didn't sleep well last night.
Oh, yeah? Nothing in particular? Did you have some caffeine or something?
Woke up in the middle of the night with heartburn and, you know, bad dreams and... I may have wet the bed. I don't know. Just kidding.
That's okay. Thanks for being real, Scott. We're going to talk about that later. Well, it feels like spring here. I mean, you can tell as you're watching this, maybe on your monitor, that I don't have my coat on. This is like I'm gradually losing my outer skin, you know, like a dog, you know, my fur, because I have been wearing my coat. I don't know, since November. I don't think I've taken it off. But I am now down to a sweatshirt. So that can only mean spring is in the air.
Awesome.
So yesterday we put up a new telephone pole. Oh man, do I have my, I got something really cool for you, Scott. But while I'm talking, I didn't put up a telephone pole. That would be a really big job. I put up a new mailbox because someone had knocked ours down. About 6 weeks ago, but it was so cold that, you know.
That is significantly less impressive, Todd.
Huh?
A mailbox versus a telephone. I mean, I was excited you were saying you'd put up a telephone pole, but I could do a mailbox.
Well, this is one of those things that dads do that is almost pointless. Like, so when you come into our little town, the very first house you come to is Ben's house. The second house is my house. The third house is now Ike's house. So I thought we should all have matching mailboxes, not telephone poles, matching mailboxes, because and ours was just knocked over. So this is perfect. So we made it yesterday. It looks nice. We're going to paint it white. It's got like a, you know, a black mailbox. It's going to have fancy Wilson on the side, you know, with the decal. But I just know that somebody's going to knock it over again. So it's just because this is about our fourth or fifth mailbox. It just is ours is right there. Boom. They knock them over. So anyway, but hey, Scott, while I'm going to ask you about, I don't need to like tell you I'm going to ask you about it. I am asking you.
You like to prepare me for these things.
Well, it does feel like, you know, I'm like taking up a lot of time just in the very question. So how are all the wedding plans? I got my wedding invitation. So the big day is fast approaching. So you're about what, 6 weeks maybe?
I think it was eight.
All of
weeks,
April, maybe seven or eight.
So it was, yeah, just over seven at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, it's getting real. When the invitations started going out, I was like, wow, we're actually doing this. And then we're trying to keep other things from, you know, getting in the way, like appliances breaking and things like that. Last Thursday night, we had my daughter took a bath and then I went down in the basement and by the basement drain, there was water. I was like, don't anybody flush anything. Stop using water.
I know it. Usually the kids say, yeah, it's been that way for a week.
Yeah. This time I caught it quickly as opposed to a couple of years ago when it smelled terrible in the basement for a while. And I was like, what is that smell? And I finally realized what was going on. And that time there was like a root ball in our line, you know. That had to be cleared out. And I was assuming it was the same thing this time. No, it was just a $500 glob of ick that had to be drilled out of the line. So anyway.
man, what a pain.
That was fun. But the wedding's going well, and hopefully no more things will break or overflow or anything like that, because I don't have that in the budget, you know?
I hear you. So. Yeah. So, in your wedding invitation, you're planning for a safe environment.
We're trying our best. We're trying to please everybody and not tick anybody off. So
you cannot. Does it? Is it just me, or does, like, up here in northern Indiana, it just feels like it's kind of burned itself out, honestly? I mean, like, November, December, and January, everybody was talking about having it. You know, we had it. Everybody had it. Yeah. And now it's not on the prayer chains anymore. I'm not hearing any chatter. It just feels like it's kind of gone.
Well, that's except you're the media. All immune now, probably. But.
And that's, does it feel that way down where you're at?
Not totally, no. We still have...
People were getting it?
No. Well, some people are getting it. Actually, my brother-in-law, his family just got hit with it. And they had to cancel. You're going to be sad for them about this. They had to cancel their Disney vacation.
Whoa.
Because of the stupid virus.
Wow, that's a bummer. Yeah. Yeah, that's sad.
So, but down here, it's just kind of, there's still people who are like, look at you cross-eyed if you're not wearing a mask. And
no, people will do that. Oh, okay. But there aren't any cases. I mean, there just aren't any cases up here. Somebody said there were just a few cases in our whole county. I was talking to my brother-in-law near Indianapolis, Noblesville. Two cases right now. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know how many actual cases there are. I don't really pay attention anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, just because it's not here as much doesn't mean the media can't talk about it constantly.
Yeah.
And they still do. I mean, I drove in my car from Milford to Leesburg, which means nothing to you. I know Milford to Warsaw, which is about 12 miles. No kidding. Almost every news thing was a COVID thing. Maybe 10 of them. You know, they were just 10 COVID related things that, and just makes me mad. But hey, Scott, this is going to make you happy. Yay. I think you can do this. This is 41 seconds of chatter. I'm going to hold this by my phone. See if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Awesome, man.
Okay, well, I'm going to just tell you what this is. This is my, we were at the Nashville convention, and
like up near, like, South Bend?
This is an author talking to my kids. Now, we know who he is, but you're not going to know who he is until you hear his voice.
I moved down here from Chicago about 17 years ago or so. So, really familiar.
I
used to go up to Michigan Dunes all the time. I love that area.
From Indiana. Nice to meet y'all.
No way.
Did that's you get it?
Awesome. You saw Mike
that is
Narwaki.
Mike Narwaki, the awesome voice of Larry the Cucumber. That was the coolest thing.
Oh, that's you, and you got him to do the voice. That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
I started out and then I had to walk away and they recorded it, but they were saying that, you know, I mean, it was just super personal. He's written some books, I guess, like a series called The Dead Sea Squirrels. You know, sounds like scrolls, but squirrels.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. They said, you know, one family, he went, you know, God loves you, and you know, whatever they said, and so do I, or something like that.
Dude,
so.
I would have that as my ringtone for the rest of my life.
If I wonder if I could do recording. That.
Oh, you should. You can.
I'll do that. I'll do that because it just makes me happy. I mean, I probably listened to it 30 times. Wow. Okay, so I'll have to figure out how to make it into.
Did
ringtone.
You invite him on the show?
We probably could.
If you have a contact information, get him on here. That would be the coolest thing ever. I would love to interview him.
That might be a good thought.
That'd be sweet, dude.
And my brother who's listening, his son has a little podcast. And I mean, they've had all these famous, you know, like the creator of Phineas and Ferb on their little podcast. I mean, and they don't have very many listeners, but they just ask and they do it, you know? So maybe we should do that.
And definitely maybe beat what target. We're doing every week.
Exactly. Exactly. That is true. Well, you know, Scott, we've got a couple of things we need to talk about here. One of those is, they're both kind of serious, but,
wait, quick.
Okay. Do you have something non-serious? Is that what you're...
No, this is, it was serious. It just, did you see, I put it up on your Facebook page, the tribute article to, Invincible Warrior Dick Hoyt.
No, I didn't see that on our Facebook page, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
For everybody who didn't know who he is, why don't you just briefly tell us? Yeah,
well, he was the dad for sure. Dick Hoyt, right. His son had something that made him quadriplegic, so he was in a wheelchair, and his son at one point said, hey, Dad, I want to run a race. I forget how long of a race. But long story short, they ran multiple marathons, including the Boston Marathon for years, and did like six Ironman triathlons where like Dad would literally tow his son in a boat behind him as he was swimming the 2.5 miles or whatever, and then run, you know, a marathon and ride 100 miles. I mean, it's the most inspiring thing. If you haven't seen it, just Google Team Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, and watch that story. You'll bawl your eyes out, but it's the most inspiring thing ever. So no offense to Tom Brady, but Dick Hoyt was the GOAT, as in greatest of all time athletes.
I never heard the GOAT.
You never heard that? Yeah.
No.
That's what they call Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
The GOAT.
But
I like that.
Anyway, it's just because his son kept asking, you know, can we do a marathon? Can we do the Boston Marathon? Can we do an Ironman triathlon? And every time Dad's like, if that's what you want, son.
Wow. Wow. Huh.
So.
Wow.
And he died last week.
And I think that he had like heart issues way back, you know,
just inspiring.
Well, hey,
not for your serious stuff.
No, my serious stuff. I was just actually just checking yesterday. I had posted a thing on Facebook on the mom's part, because dads, I'm just not very faithful in posting, because we shouldn't be on Facebook anyway. You know, I mean, Scott will take care of us if there's something we need to hear about. But the moms, I mean, it's just constant chatter. It's just, you know, I mean, if I want to get a hold of a mom, if I like email her, she doesn't respond in days. But if I message her, she responds in a millisecond. But I had posted some things, you know, like top 10 ways to discourage a homeschool mom, you know, on Facebook, you know, and they're just kind of things, you know, like basically telling everybody how wonderful your life is and all that kind of stuff. Well, a mom wrote and she said, you know, why can't people just post what they want to? You know, God forbid somebody doing something right might possibly bring someone else down. That sounds like a you problem to me. I'm that woman that a lot of people mention in your comments. And I got to tell you, I don't post the crap to brag. In fact, I barely post at all, you know, blah, 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 blah. Sounds like a smidge of jealousy to me if we can't be happy for others. Well, you know, I didn't know. Honestly, I wanted to delete the post because I don't like posts like that, because here's what happens. I mean, they're posted. I'm looking right now. There were 98 comments on this post. As soon as she posted, no one posted after her. Mm-hmm. And that just is amazing to me, because all these other posts prior to hers were, thank you so much for posting these kind of things. This is how I feel all the time. You know, I feel like, and you know, and some of them were saying funny things too, you know, like post these nice love notes to your husband who doesn't even have a Facebook account, you know, who will never read these things and that kind of stuff. And I wrote this really long, comment back, which I don't see. Maybe I didn't put it in there. But, you know, I've been thinking about it, because I even had a conversation this weekend sometime around the Larry Boy thing. And this lady, she was saying how discouraged she gets on social media. She goes, because everybody posts everything. And then another lady said something like, well, so is it just that we can't ever post happy thoughts, you know? And so I thought I gave this really thoughtful response to this mom. Because here's a part, and Scott, you could maybe put in as well. When this mom said, you know, God forbid somebody doing something right might possibly bring someone else down, that sounds like a you problem to me. And I was a lot more gentle than I'm going to be here. But, you know, this is what I feel like everybody says out in the world right now, even Christians, that it's a you problem. It's not a my problem. You know, if I do something and it causes you to stumble, it's really your fault, you know, and we don't, hopefully there are no moms listening, but you know, that's what they've said about, like, you know, and this is really getting into hot water, but we're going to talk about it anyway. You know,
the way we like it.
That's the way we roll. You know, they'll say, well, you know, if you're lusting after a girl, that's not our problem. That's your problem. And, you know, even the Me Too movement, you know, it's an all men problem that they've caused the, you know, these hurtful things. I will take 100% credit for that. You know, it is a man's thing that we are the ones who did do those things to women, and it is our fault. But, and I don't mean it, it's a nice but, not a mean but, you know, there is responsibility for us, for our brothers and sisters. You know, when Cain killed Abel, and then God says to Cain, you know, hey, where's your brother? And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? God didn't respond to that. But the answer was, yes, you are your brother's keeper. You know, and I think throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, really New Testament, maybe more so, we are responsible for our brothers and sisters. You know, so and I wasn't planning to go this direction, but we're still going this direction. In how our daughters, you know, and our women folk, how they dress, modesty is an issue. You know, we would never say, I mean, if I went to downtown Chicago, not downtown, to the bad section of Chicago, I don't know if it's got a name, but, you know, if I went to the bad section of Chicago and I had $100 bills sticking out of my pockets, you know, and taped to my shirt, if I went down there and I got mugged, they would say, that guy is a nut. Why would he do that? And I could say, I have the right to walk down any street in America and be safe. You know, it's not my fault. It's their fault. Of course, nobody would ever, they would all disagree with me and say, well, if you're going to go in a dangerous situation or in that kind of situation, you wouldn't, why would you want to, you know, do that? And I think sometimes even for our daughters, men, you know, that we allow them to dress a certain way, and then we're surprised when bad things happen. Again, I'm not blaming our daughters. I'm just saying there is responsibility for all of us, you know? And so in our words, we are responsible. I am preaching now. We are responsible for how it affects those around us. That's why I never post things on anything, really. In our email, I never post about, oh, we're on some exotic vacation and this is all the fun stuff we did. I never say, oh, this is all the money I have, or look at my abs of steel. This is, you know, I'm doing all the, you know, look how great I look. You know, but you go through social media and it feels like a constant barrage of this. You know, look how happy I am. Look how great I am. Look at my amazing family. And I'll tell you, there are lots of moms, maybe especially moms, who are so discouraged by that, you know, because they look at these super obedient children. You know, I had a mom come up to me 2 weeks ago and she goes, you know, have your adult children, how are they doing? And I knew right away what she was asking. I knew she was going to say, because mine aren't doing very good. And, you know, I almost didn't want to answer because, I mean, I feel like right now my children are walking with God and they're pleasing us, and I couldn't be more pleased. But, you know, I know for maybe a dad who's listening right now, his son or daughter is not walking with, or your son and daughter is not walking with God, you know, and maybe they're, you know, one dad contacted me and said, you know, his son is now thinks he's a daughter. And that can be so discouraging to hear that good news. And so I really toned it down a lot. And for that mom, but here's the deal. So as the mom said, so can we just never, ever say anything happy? You know, can I never say, I feel, and here's the part I've been thinking about for a long time. I think we should rarely say good, happy things. But we can if we're saying all the real parts too. You know, again, I knew a family member who said, you know, I hate Christmas cards. I hate getting Christmas cards because, Scott, what do they always put in their Christmas cards?
All the great things they're doing.
You know, I mean, I have, and I get those certain cards, you know, where they write out the letter.
Yeah.
And the letter is filled like, here's all the places we've been to. Here's all the famous people we met. Here's all the fun we had. And, you know, again, this family member said, I hate getting those because I don't get to go on those vacations. You know, I'm at home all the time. I didn't get to do any of that. And he told me that really all, maybe 2 decades ago. And that just made such an impression on me. And I thought, I never want to discourage someone else. And so if you get our Christmas cards, and I think I posted them, you know, they're just all pretty generic. Usually, you know, it always says it's been a hard year or whatever. And then I may run down through, but I never brag. And by brag, that's kind of a whatever word, but I'm not even, I never point out all the good stuff because they don't need to know all the good stuff, you know? They don't even want to know all the good stuff. But here's the deal. I remember one time I was in our, we had a part of a home church, and the home church was pretty big. It was about 100 people. We didn't even meet at a home. We met in a gym of a Christian school. And I remember saying, because they always had a prayer and praise time, you know, like it's common in a lot of churches, especially little churches, big churches, kind of hard to do that. But I can remember saying something like this. I just feel so full as a dad. You know, I feel like my wife loves me. I feel like my kids are, I just, you know, love me. And it just felt really, really good. And that's all I said. It was something pretty simple like that. About one or two praises after that, this dad, he says, he raises his hand and he goes, his name is Paul. And Paul said, you know, he said, I really appreciate what Todd said, because I know that sometimes when people talk about how good it is, it always makes me feel bad because I feel like I'm not feeling that way. And then he said, but Todd always shares when it's hard. He always shares when, you know, it's ugly. And so it makes me happy for him right now, you know? And I thought maybe that's the secret to posting positive things. And that's what I wrote this lady, which I can't seem to find. But Dad, maybe we take the lead, Dad, you know, because I know sometimes I have these conversations with others and they don't get it. Even family members, they don't get that their posts might discourage someone. And yet my son, my oldest son, and he gets it, but he just said yesterday, because he's a huge reader, he reads lots of biographies. I mean, huge. He reads more than anybody I know. And he's read every biography, you name a person, he's just about done it. And he said, I don't really like to read about billionaires. And we all kind of laughed. He said, you know, because it just always sounds so easy. Like they, and I feel like I amounted to nothing afterwards. And I thought, isn't that true? You know, even we feel that. So dads, you know, your wife might not get it and might post all those things. You know, maybe we take the lead a little bit and we don't say, no, honey, you cannot post those things. But maybe we say, hey, you know, I wonder if when we post these things, maybe it discourages other people. Because I think we are responsible for how others feel. So Scott, you want to critique that?
Oh, I don't know if I want to critique it. If you're looking for a Bible passage to back up your sermon.
Sure.
First Corinthians 10 will do, particularly towards the end of that chapter.
Do you have it there or do you have it memorized? Yeah,
he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. And then it goes on from there. So.
Right.
And it's that whole bit about whether eating food that's, you know, been sacrificed to idols and things like that.
To an idol or not. Yeah. And that really is counter the way we live, the way we roll in America, you know, because really we kind of like, you know, I'm free to be me, you know, it doesn't matter how you deal with it. And I think nothing could be further from God's truth, really. It does matter.
Yeah. You know? I think, as far as I'm concerned with the whole Facebook thing and all that, it's, we're all curating our lives for somebody to read or see or whatever in some way, if you're on social media, and it's helpful to think about what you're putting and what impact it might have. I'm not going to take responsibility for how everybody else feels when they read my stuff, but you know, I don't have much to worry about making other people jealous. No, I'm just kidding.
I have
a wonderful family and I love them very much.
Oh, are you kidding me, Scott? Are you kidding? You know how many people would kill to have a family who loves them?
Yes.
I mean, you think, oh, I don't have much, but that is not true. That is not true. You know? So anyway, okay. We're moving on. We're moving on.
In fact, move on.
I just deleted that post actually from my thing, but here's the other thing. because Dad wrote this past week or 2 weeks ago, and I told him I was going to talk about it last week, but we just didn't have time with Jeremy Bain. Oh, hey. And didn't Jeremy do a good job?
He did great. And speaking of that, I didn't get to mention Caleb Morris texted me after our show like 2 or 3 weeks ago and said that it was whatever I said was about life just being a series of boxes to check until death. He said that was very profound and he thought about it for a while. So that was my deep thought for the year. I'm done. Thank you, Caleb. You're the best.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. So we're going to have to get some of these dads on again. But okay. So a dad wrote me and said, hey, Todd, you know, how do you deal with, and then we got to kind of draw it to a close here. Yes. How do you deal with, you know, salvation and your children? Because he said, you know, I have an old child who's not sure if he's saved or if he's come to a point where he's really, really, really put his trust in Christ. And I could tell that the dad was kind of thinking, well, you know, but I know he has because, you know, I was there. So here are my thoughts on that. And Scott, you can add to that or maybe, you know, Mr. You can pull up some Bible verses and put it into a 3-point outline. But here's what I want for, this is just Todd. This is what I want for my children. I want them to just say yes continually to Jesus. You know, because I do think sometimes in the past, I don't know about so much now, I'm not sure. But in the past, we put a ton of weight on that single moment, you know. And some of us can't remember that single moment when we put our trust in Christ, you know. Because, you know, I would hear someone say, well, of course you're a Christian because I was there when you prayed the prayer. I would never try to talk someone into being a Christian. You know, I would or convince them that they really were if they didn't feel they weren't. You know, so if my kid said, Dad, I want to ask Jesus into my heart tonight, or I want to just, you know, I want to pray with you today. And he did it yesterday. I would say, okay, let's do it. You know, and I would keep doing it. I would keep teaching all the time and say, no, you know, you don't have to ask. Because once you've asked it, he says, you will have eternal life from that moment on. There's no undoing that. And I know some would disagree with me in that, but you're wrong. but, you know, it says eternal life from this moment on. That means from now till ever and ever and ever and ever, keep going. There's no pause. There's no going back. It's just the truth. And I would share those verses. And then if he'd say, well, I still want to do it, I'd say, let's do it. You know? And so I want to have my children continually saying yes to Jesus. And sometimes, you know, it won't be like, oh, I need to ask you into my heart every night or ask you to be my savior every night. But you know, why wouldn't we ask him to be our savior every night? You know, because he is our savior and I need him to be my savior today. Not so that I'm, you know, have eternal security or whatever, that I know that I'm going to get in to heaven, but that he is the Lord of my life, you know? And so that's how I have handled it, would handle it, you know, because really that's a pretty weighty thing. And I think it's a good sign that your son or daughter, you know, sometimes feel that because it just says their hearts are sensitive. Because I think C.S. Lewis said, you can't have doubt unless you have faith, which I think he's correct in that, you know. And I just keep going back to those words of Jesus that said, if you believe, you will be saved. If you believe, you will be saved. And later on, he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. You know, and I go back to those words over and over again. And so if you have to have those conversations with your children, especially your young children, over and over and over again, keep doing it. Because Dad, I think we're the ones who they look to for reassurance. I mean, even Catherine, when she was a, you know, late teenager, you know, it wasn't like she was afraid of not being saved. She was afraid, like all of us have felt, that, you know, maybe I'm just believing this fanciful story, you know, maybe. And again, I think that's the evidence of faith, you know. But she looked to me to have answers. And I would say things like, Catherine, Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, you know, this is true. If it were not, I would have told you. And I just go back to that. And these other men who believe these things, and you know, I'd point her back to those verses, and she'd say, oh, Dad, it's just so easy for you. I wish it were easy for me. And I'm like, Catherine, it's not easy for me, but it is the truth. So we just go back to the truth again and again and again, you know. So, Scott, if you'd like to add something to that, yeah, you can. Yeah.
First of all, just look up the phrase assurance of salvation, and you'll get a whole bunch of Bible verses that'll help you with that,
right, if
that's bothering you. And the devil is constantly trying to disqualify us. Like, he even said it to Jesus. Oh, well, if you are the Son of God.
Right. You know, exactly.
Like, he's going to
cause doubt.
Yeah. If you really are a Christian, which, you know, really, come
that's
on.
A good point.
Christians don't do what you did last night.
Right.
You know, he'll whisper that stuff all day long. So,
yeah.
And the work of God is to believe in the one he sent. It's always to believe. You know, Jesus said, don't worry, just believe, to the dad whose daughter was sick, I believe it was. And, you know, it's belief is always the work. It's not feeling it. It's believing it. So even if you don't feel saved today, believe that you are. This is where the word of God is so powerful and important and necessary, along with like everywhere else. But it is so helpful, because you can hold that anchor of hope that you are saved and you know it. And then I'll just quote one of my favorite song lines from, I believe it was Charlie Peacock who wrote it, but DC Talk had a version of the song In the Light. And he just says, I'm still a man in need of a savior. Every day I feel that, even though I'm saved and I know it, there are so many times when I wake up thinking I'm still a man in need of a savior.
Amen. Amen. Well, that concludes our Through the Bible with Todd and Scott.
Right on.
But I'm going to pray for all you dads, because I know it's a heavy thing. And I know some of you are maybe even thinking those things, or maybe, I don't know if we've ever done this, Scott, but maybe you've never come to a point where you've just really believed, like Scott said. You know, you can't lead your family to the light if you're not in the light. So how about we just pray together right now? Dear Jesus, I just thank you that you are the way, the truth, and life, that you have made a path for us and that you are the path. I pray that, or I thank you, that it is not about us, because we fail. We talk on the show all the time. We fail. We'll fail today. But you are our hope, and that you've made us, that if we believe in you, we will have eternal life from this moment forward, from that moment forward. I pray for any dad out there who just might not be sure. I pray that they would give their hearts to you and that you would draw them to yourself. I pray for us dads who are leading our children to you. I pray, if I can be so bold, Father, can I pray that every single one of our children, to all those who are listening right now, every single one would be in your kingdom. I'm just asking, and I'm believing that you will do that. I pray you would give us wisdom, and as we lead our children to you, that we would take the time, maybe that's the hardest thing, and that we would ask questions, and that we would lead them to be confident, to be assured of their salvation. And we pray all this in your name. And all the dad said, amen.
Amen.
Well, hey, Dad, have a great week. I'm going to go see if I can work on turning my that thing into a ringtone for Larry's voice, which will be super cool. Have a great week with your kids. Easter's coming. Don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
A quality show, Scott.
That was good, man. I like it.
Thanks for the pizza. Okay, goodbye, everybody.